Griffin.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Joining us now, though, one of the best Republican consultant minds in America, Chris La Civita. He's the guy you go to when the chips are down and everything is blowing up around you. Former Marine, and he was the guy that developed the swift boat strategy. Remember that? Against John Kerry. He's won a lot of key races around the country. He was a key element in Trump's nomination victory at the convention in 2016 in Cleveland. And he's also a managing partner of FP Strategies. And we're delighted to have him with us now. Chris La Civita, great to have you, man.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Okay, now, I'm doing fine. Let me know what is going on. What do we have to do in the Republican Party of Virginia? What were your breakdown the results on Tuesday, and where do we go from here?
Well, I think we've got to realize two things. You always have to, after an election cycle, sit back and try and look at objectively, do some sort of analysis of what actually happens and where, right? And I think there are two things that are undeniable. One, Virginia, from a demographic standpoint, is changing drastically. Very, very, very quickly. Okay, so I started in politics in 1991 with George Allen, who was running for Congress, right? And then went on with him when he was ran for governor. I was the executive director of the state GOP from 1996 to 1999, when Republicans were in the minority in the House and the Senate, and then we won the majorities in the Senate and in the House, first time since Reconstruction. So let that sink in. Republicans did not have control of the state legislature for over 100 years. And of course, that was broken in the late 1990s. So from a historical standpoint, Republicans having control of state government is really a new thing from an historical standpoint. All that being said, we've done some things, but we lost control of the state Senate a few years back because Republicans caved and voted for Mark Warner when he was governor, his tax increase. And, there's some people that could say, okay, well, didn't Republicans just pass Obamacare, Medicaid expansion in the House? Yeah, you could probably say that. That's not a helpful factor, but I think that demographically, the state we've just seen these massive changes from Northern Virginia and all into the Richmond suburbs. I mean, Virginia Beach has always been a transient area by nature of the fact that it's such a military town. But looking at what's going on in the suburbs in Richmond, what's going on in Northern Virginia, and what has been going on in Northern Virginia, I think that has a lot to do with it. That's point number one. And I think the second point is that, we had a majority in the House by, 2 votes and 2 seats. And, we actually won, or 1 seat, we actually won the majority by a coin flip 2 years ago, literally a coin toss decided it. And then redistricting showed up, and a judge came in and redid the districts, and 3 of the 6 seats that we lost in the House can be directly attributed to those maps. Obviously, Chris Jones being, the biggest. So that's just a fact. Now, those aren't excuses. But you've got to go into it eyes wide open and realizing that okay, those are contributing factors ultimately at the end of the day, because you don't want to draw the wrong lessons. I think that one of the other things I don't think that a lot of your listeners would know is that in a lot of these races, Republicans actually exceeded, at least from a vote share standpoint, the percentages that Trump received or the percentages that Gillespie received. So, you know, the turnout in 2019 was unbelievably, unbelievably high for what we call an off year election. I mean,
wait a minute. So now we're taking the position that too many people are turning out, so we're losing. I mean, what the hell kind of a position is that?
No, and that's actually a good thing from a democracy standpoint. You want people voting, and you want higher turnout. And we had. I'm just saying that the sheer volume, the sheer number of people we turned out. In a lot of these races that we lost, Republicans received and got the vote totals that they were looking for, except that the Democrats did a better job of turning out their people. So when I say more people voted, it was just more Democrats, clearly. And again, that all has to do with, a lot of it has to do with some of the demographic changes, but it also has to do with the fact that, you know, the Democrats, very effective in terms of putting together specific things that they want to push that appeal to their base, right? They were talking about let's have greater access to abortion. Well, we all know what that means. Let's have greater gun control measures. I mean, these are issues that are, and then let's just wrap it up and throw the president into the mix. Off your elections are all about motivating and turning out your base.
All right, look. Here's what's keeping me up at night. Maybe you're going to address it. You look at areas where Republicans got great turnout in Republican precincts, and we were looking at these numbers at 2, 3, 4 o'clock, and I was very excited coming on the air when my show started at 6. Because we had in the key Republican precincts where we did robocalls to get Trump voters out, we were getting turnout we never thought we would get. So I'm like, wow, trending is good. Here's what happened: we didn't win those precincts by anywhere near the margin we thought we would. So I mean, look, we can't look at people's ballots, but when you have a Republican precinct and you get a great Republican turnout, but then you don't win by that much. It's like, okay, Republicans were coming out and voting for the Democrat. And so, I mean, that you know, to me, Chris, you know, we can sit here and say they had a better model, they had better polling, they had better this, but, you know, we can dispute all that. Obviously, they won. Everything they did was better. But what kept me up for 2 days is we got huge turnout in key targeted Republican-dominated precincts with a pro-Trump message where we did robocalls. And the margin of victory for Republicans was minimal. I mean, it's not anywhere what we thought it would be. And so we don't know the balance, but you look at that and you say, okay, we got Republicans out, and they were voting for the Democrat. That's what is worrying me today, and I'm trying to get to the bottom of it. Does that make sense?
Well, it does. So you could say precinct X has a history, because we don't have party, right? We don't have party ID in the Commonwealth.
Right.
Yeah. And you don't register by party. The only way that we in politics can make a determination as to what we think what party you identify with is through your primary vote history. So if you vote in Republican primaries or you vote in Democrat primaries, you know, that's basically our best way of making that determination. That and through you know, other different types of things that we do through analytics. But so when you say a Republican precinct, so you're looking at a precinct that votes 67, let's just say what I would classify as a quote-unquote Republican precinct would be a precinct that votes 55% or more Republican consistently in general elections.
Right.
So, okay, you pick that 55% Republican precinct because, and then you call everybody in that precinct. But you're only, on the best case, your best day, it's only going to be 55% Republican in total.
Right.
But you have no clue who you're going to turn out. That other 45% may show up.
Right.
Follow me? It's all in the numbers. So it's not that the Republicans switch their vote.
I get that. Okay. All right. Look. What's frustrating me is everybody wants to say, oh, Virginia, demographics turning blue, it sucks, government workers, that's why we lost, gerrymandering, that's why we lost, they spent more money, that's why we lost. I mean, okay, we can keep doing that into perpetuity, right? Now let's shift gears a second, all right? And let's go to what the hell do we have to do to be competitive in this state? Because right now we're not competitive.
Okay, so...
And before I do that... I'm going to get the quick word from our sponsors, Kara. When I get back,
by the way,
Chris LaCivita is going to give us his blueprint to turn this thing around because it's very frustrating, and I want somebody to help put this debacle together. And I'm telling you, it's not Todd Gilbert. I'll be right back. John Curtis Radio Network, you got it back. We're with Chris LaCivita, one of the major Republican consultants in America. He's won races like you couldn't believe all over the place, many in Virginia as well. So, Chris, let's get to the state of the non-existent now Republican Party in Virginia. We have no money. It's bankrupt. There's no organization. There's no leadership. They had no message. And now we're faced. The first thing we have to do is they're going to have to pick a minority leader in the House of Delegates. Then there's going to be a convention in May. This whole thing has got me just beside myself. What do we do, Chris?
Well, I think that, first off, as I had mentioned earlier, you know, taking an objective look at some of the things that contributed to the losses. These are contributing factors. These aren't the major factors. That being said, rolling into the next session, you know, the Democrats made clear. I mean, I think the headline in the Richmond Times-Dispatch, or at least in the headline, it said that the most progressive, right? I hate that word because that means, you know, forward. These guys are very, a little different. I think radical or liberal, in a generation. These are not the Democrats that, you know, I was fighting back in the 90s. This is a whole new crew. So I think the changes that they want to bring about are going to be, they're going to do it very swiftly and they're going to do it very aggressively. And that's the key thing here to remember, aggressive. Republicans need to be aggressive. This entire year, and I'm not pointing I'm not looking to blame anybody. I'm just, you know, the last year, we were playing prevent D, right? We were playing prevent D. We're trying to hold on to very thin majorities in the House, trying to hang on to even thinner majorities in the Senate. And what happens during the course of this, where we're barely hanging on and the courts come down and rewrite our districts in the House, the governor gets busted in a huge scandal. That, you know, pick your poison. He's either in blackface or he's under a white hood. You have the lieutenant governors credibly accused of rape by two women. And then you've got the attorney general who has his own blackface scandal. I mean, these are things that would take down any politician on any level. And for some reason, the Republicans just sort of put the brakes on and did not pursue an aggressive strategy, quite frankly, to hammer the living hell out of them. That's what we should have been doing all year long. Not, you know, we come up with this quote-unquote bipartisan investigation, and then when the Democrats decide that they're not going to play ball, we take our cards and go home. That is just ludicrous from a political standpoint. I mean, if you're not willing to take it to the map, then, you know, you need to get out. This is part of the problem. So I think that if Republicans are aggressive in pointing out all the problems, the $15 minimum wage, I mean, do you have any idea the impact that's going to have, not just on workers, but on business? I mean, it's they're going to kill right to work. So these are policies and there are things coming down the pike that we have to be aggressive. If we try to be Democrat light, we will always be in the minority. Bottom line, we have to draw bright lines and differences between Republicans and Democrats. And here's the other thing. Going into the 2020 presidential race, we have great, and the presidential year, the next election year, we have great opportunities. We have great opportunities to take on Abigail Spanberger, to take on Elaine Loria, and to point out that they're not the Democrats that they ran. But, you know, we're moderates. Moderates don't exist. And so there's no room for the moderates in the Democrat Party. So, you know, we have great opportunities. We have opportunities to organize, unify, and you know, that's what we need to do. We need to take advantage of the opportunities as they present themselves. We did not do that last year.
Okay, so how do you rebuild the Republican Party? And let's start with the convention in May, Chris. And I've only got a minute and a half.
Yeah.
But right now there's no candidate. I cannot support Jack Wilson. Nice guy. Party is bankrupt. Couldn't raise any money. Lost. Can't do it. Can't get people out to back him. So that's out. The 5th or 6th district is going to run a conventioneer, Cynthia Dunbar, Scott Sayre type, that gets up every day, lives their life to sanction people like Denver Riggleman. They are going to run a candidate. We have no candidate. In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. They will win.
Always.
I cannot get Trump voters out to vote for nobody against them. Sean Spicer, he wants to run for state committee man against Morton Blackwell. Morton Blackwell will get thousands of people out. We lose, they win. They will further shrink the party. That's what we're faced with in May. What's the answer to this?
Well, you know, the state GOP plays a role, and it's you know, it's a role has always been, you know, more of an organizational standpoint than anything else. I mean, we don't look for, you know, guidance on what to do from a policy standpoint from the Republican Party, quote unquote, of Virginia. I mean, you know, we elect people to do the public policy standpoint. So, but from an organizational standpoint, you know, they're very important. And, look, between now and May is a long time. And the state party job is very, it's awful job. One of the most awful jobs in politics. it's a thankless job, quite frankly. But we need somebody who's a little bit, you know, who's organizational focused. I don't know Jack. I don't know the current chairman. But the party has to be capable of organizing itself in such a fashion that it can be an able partner for our elected officials to help them get them across the finish line. But I just don't want to put too many eggs in one basket. We just can't look at that as that's the biggest issue. You know, we have a message problem, right? And we have a policy problem. And so those are some of the things that we take on first. But in terms of individuals, I mean, I know Sean very well, but Sean Spicer for National Committee Man, really? I mean, Morton Blackwell's been a National Committee Man for 50 years.
Yeah, this isn't dancing with the stars. You know, if Sean wants to run for something, he should run for chairman to fix the party, not run against somebody that's been building the party for 40 years.
Right.
I mean, that makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense, and I don't know if that's even real. But I mean,
it's real. I don't get on the air and tell you anything that's not real, man. That is real. All right.
Well,
that is real.
That's really surprising. But you know, when Ed Gillespie was chairman of the Republican Party, he did a hell of a job. Say what you will, right? Ed will have his detractors, as we all do. But when Ed was chairman of the party, he did an amazing job. Got the party out of debt, sort of like when Randy Forbes was chairman of the party. You know, got the party out of debt and brought it into the 21st century. And you know, Ed was a chairman on that kind of level, and they, you know, had done a lot. And, of course, their focus was fundraising. And fundraising is what drives, obviously, and unfortunately, you know, the body politics. So
right, we got to have some money. Hey, man, I got to roll. We're way over our time. I'm out of time. I got to get to the bottom of the hour stuff. Chris Lazavita, thanks, though. Thanks for that insight. Thanks for being
thanks,
with
John.
Us. Thank you so much.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
John Fredericks, Radio Network. All right, the phone lines are open, 888-480-JOHN, 888-480-5646. Let's get to Colonel Mike from West Virginia. Colonel Mike, you're on the air.
Boy, it's been a while since I called in, Godzilla. Everything's happened. The election's over. And now I understand where that little cliche came in, caucus of the corn. I just saw the lady's name.
Oh, wow. Finally, you never understood where that came from.
That was a wild one. I was saying, like, caucus of the corn, what's he talking about?
But Eileen Fillercorn.
Yes, and also they have this lady now who's a PG County educator out of Petersburg, who will be running for leadership, I understand. And Sasslaw is going to take the seat, but in the House side, it looks like this young lady, I guess she's in her 30s.
And yeah, Charisse Aird has zero chance of winning that. Eileen Fillercorn is going to be Eileen is going to be the Speaker of the House.
Okay, I called in on that. But there was a great article, John, on why Virginia went blue. And it's by Matthew Continetti of the Beacon.
Yeah, I saw it.
It's a great story. And, I mean, it's just what's happening. It's a melting pot. It's been melting for 25 years. People find a way to come here. And it happens to be a highly educated area, right? You know, the real estate's expensive. And in the last 20 years, numbers have changed. And probably a third of the state doesn't speak English as a first language. And even for the ones without the degrees, they always push about how many people have a bachelor's degree and highly educated. But, yeah, I mean, think about it. If you're in Chicago and you're illegal, or if you're in Chicago and you're here legally and things ain't looking good, you're gonna migrate to Virginia. And that's why Virginia's got – Loudoun County has just bursted at the seams with growth. So – you know, when you bring in people from South Asia or South America or Latin America, a lot of baggage comes with it. And part of the baggage is they escape that to be part of the American experience. But they bring the baggage of, yeah, but I kind of like what I used to have back home. You know, they gave me that free medicine or whatever. So that's where we are now. That's exactly what's happening in Virginia. I didn't call in for the political season because you guys were cranking it. Steve is doing a heck of a job, but I'll give you a tip-off, too, because you just mentioned the whole lineup of what we're doing for the president. There are a group of former congressional staffers that I spoke with last week that said the message is lousy.
Right.
That they're now taking talking points, what they're doing, taking stuff from your show, Steve's show,
thank you,
TV, radio, right, media, and putting talking points together.
Right.
And they went to these medical apparatus companies to buy spine rods. Spine rods, they call them. They're going to go in and see the Republicans, even the ones that are going to retire, and they're going to give them the talking points. And here's the biggest problem. This is what the consensus is, John. A lot of these guys are retiring not because they want to bail. They don't want to hear that they're a rapist in a restaurant.
Right.
They don't want to hear that they're a racist in a restaurant.
Right.
A lot of these guys are wetting their pants. And here's my thing, personally, my thing. The president should come out with an executive order and let everybody go crazy and bleed through the eyes. Just say, listen, I'm sorry. We're a bankrupt country. We've got $24 trillion in debt. There's no longer congressional pensions. You'll see how fast they'll stay.
Right.
Okay? Because they're going to bail from Pennsylvania Avenue to K Street, right? They're going to get the $170 a year pension, and then they're going to get the $1 million lobby shop.
Right.
They're not entitled to that if they're bailing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. The Republicans, they bail at the least wind.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, for all of these guys in Texas all of a sudden to say, yeah, I want to go home and play with my horse and my grandchildren, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
You took 30 years of our money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we finally got a president that has a spine, a president that believes in America, and you want to jump ship? I mean, you all were on board with W. You were all on board with Obama. There was no problem. You know, so things are happening. Things are going to change around.
All right. Colonel Mike,
all right, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for the call. Bye.
Yeah. AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. The Democratic-led impeachment inquiry against President Donald Trump scheduled to continue this week. Mr. Trump has dismissed the impeachment proceedings as a joke that deny him and Republican lawmakers due process. Police used tear gas to drive back dozens of protesters who were trying to leave a university campus that they have occupied for days. Protesters streamed out of the campus Monday morning after the president of Hong Kong Polytechnic University announced police had agreed to suspend the use of force. They likely wanted to try to escape while police want to arrest them. HP Inc. says that its board has rejected a roughly $33.5 billion takeover offer from Xerox. The Palo Alto, California-based company said Sunday that the cash and stock deal undervalues its business, and its board cited concerns about outsized debt levels should the companies combine. HP makes computers and printers. More details at srnnews.com.
Sebastian Gorka here for Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that was formulated by doctors to help your body deal with inflammation and pain. The reason I've told so many of my friends about the 3-week quick start is because as we get older, occasional aches and pains can be a real problem, keeping you from sleeping through the night or doing the things you love and need to do, like taking walks or playing golf, going up or downstairs, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. Tens of thousands are now like me, glad they ordered the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. After years of back pain, I found relief, and I believe you could too. Folks, this is why the father and son owners of Relief Factor, Pete and Seth Talbot, created the 3-week quick start, and they discounted it to only $19.95. Approximately 70% of those who order it go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-583.
Do you know who was voted the Bold City's best plumber? Roland Reich Plumbing. Here's why. Roland Reich Plumbing promises great work on time and does it. The good news spreads fast. For all plumbing issues, large or small, you want the Bold City's best. Click Plumber in Jacks.com. Your friends and neighbors have used them, and that's why they went to Jacksonville.com to vote Roland Reich Plumbing Jacksonville's top plumber. 24/7, Roland Reich Plumbing is standing by, whether it's routine work or a middle-of-the-night emergency. Just call 904-260-7059. If you have a leak, can't wait a week, please call Roland Reich Plumbing at 904-260-7059. Roland Reich Plumbing is proud to have been voted Bold City's best plumber. They intend to stay number one. Call 904-260-7059. Call 904-260-7059.
Does your well water leave brown rust stains on clothes and fixtures? Does it smell bad? Get rid of it all with the HydroCare Iron 300X. HydroCare's multi-stage process gets rid of iron, sulfide, and odors. HydroCare is an easily installed, compact system without tanks, backwashing, or servicing, and only costs $799. You'll be amazed how fresh and clean well water can be. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, visit goodclearwater.com, goodclearwater.com.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio.
Turn your radio on.
Have you heard? The Ted and Sandy Gospel Program can be heard every Sunday from 7 to 8 a.m. on WBOB. Ted and Sandy guarantee to play you some of the best in Southern Gospel, Bluegrass Gospel, and Country Gospel available. They'll give you words of encouragement in your daily life, announce gospel sings, and church events in our area, and much more. Tune in every Sunday morning at 7, right here on WBOB.
All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Okay, I got it. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's get to Rich in Virginia Beach. Rich, you're on the air.
Hey, hi, John. I wanted to give you an update on Friday. You said to get involved.
Yes.
I texted you my info. You put me in contact with American Majority.
Yes.
On Friday night, a man called me. They set up the software on my iPhone. I drove to Virginia Beach Saturday morning. They gave me the flyers. Saturday and Sunday, I knocked on over 100 doors. First time I've ever done anything like that. All but two were voting for Jen Kiggins.
Yes.
One guy was a never-Trumper, and he just didn't like Trump, so he wasn't voting Republican, and the other lady was undecided. But everyone else was very excited to vote for Jen. Some had already voted, but it was very encouraging because based on your radio show, I was getting pretty depressed. But after knocking on all those doors and all these nice people that were said they were coming out for Jen, I was very encouraged. That's it.
Well, Rich, thank you. I tell you what, number one, thank you for doing that. Thank you for stepping up. You know, talk is cheap. You got to do the work. I'm glad I got you hooked up with American Majority. And what American Majority does, folks, is they'll hook you up. You can help with the campaigns, but they'll pay you $50 an hour also. That's what the Democrats do. So now we want to do it and be able to give our volunteers some spending money. So if you're interested, there's still a day remaining. You can still get involved today. Just text me. That's the easiest thing to do, 757-692-1710. I'll send your name out, 757-692-1710. Just say, hey, I want to help. I'll get you in touch. But, Rich, thank you for doing that, man. You are the man. If we do hang on, it's going to be because of your work and people like yourself that are out there making that happen, that turn the tide. Thank you.
All right. Bye, John.
You're my man. Rich in Virginia Beach. Kicking. But joining me now, Pete Snyder. Pete ran for Lieutenant Governor 2013, finished second in the convention to E.W. Jackson. And I believe that Pete is going to run for governor in 2021. But first things first, Pete, what do you see today?
Johnny, happy election day. And I think for a lot of us, it kind of feels like Christmas morning. And, you know, we have a disproportionate amount of lunatics running for office, as you just said, and talk to your listeners about, but, you know, I got to tell you, let's just take our hats off to every single one of our people and the other side who's in the arena making things happen, trying to fight for the battle of ideals. Our side, we're pro-capitalism, anti-socialism. The other side seems to be going that way. Bernie Sanders coming in late, people openly running as socialists. But this is what our democracy is all about. We got to fight for it, and that's what we're doing today. So, look, Johnny, I am cautiously optimistic that we hold on to the House. The Senate's going to be a real battle. We're kind of on defense there. I think we can pull it out. I was actually just out in Loudoun County yesterday. Virginia Beach is a battleground. You know, Johnny, I'm telling you, Loudoun County is another key battleground for us. Gary Higgins in Dick Black's old Senate seat, one of the most expensive races, if not the most expensive race, in the Commonwealth. And, you know, Gary ran in a really good campaign, hitting his opponent hard on a number of issues, polls in the county, but also, you know, this whole Justin Fairfax debacle and the fact that his opponent wouldn't actually let those women testify and the hypocrisy of all of that. So Gary's run a great race, has a good chance to win. The real upset surprise, not General Assembly races, is the huge upset that John Whitbeck's going to pull tonight by taking a blue county, Loudoun County, red when he becomes the next chairman of the Board of Supervisors. John's been a friend of yours, a friend of the show, former state party chair, longtime activist, lawyer in his community for 20 years. He has run a near flawless campaign, outraged his opponent by a mile, and outworked her. And he is going to, he's running on the right issues. I mean, the tolls that Loudoun commuters pay are absolutely preposterous, and it's all been aided and abetted by the board there and who voted on those crazy greenways and out of control tolling. And John's going to pull this thing off. So, and as you know, and your listeners know, John, we need a beachhead in Northern Virginia. Like, I'm optimistic about Tim Hugo. I'm optimistic about Pat Arity. But ever since losing Barbara Comstock, we have not had a major foothold in Northern Virginia, formerly my home turf, my home for 20 years. We need it. We need it in Loudoun County. Loudoun County is going to be critical in statewide to come. It's the fastest growing county in Virginia, the wealthiest county in America. And John's going to be a great leader there.
Well, look, I think he's going to win that race just because of the toll issue, and he's run a very localized campaign. Also, the fact that his opponent voted herself a 80% pay raise or something in time.
Can you believe that?
It's just arrogance, Pete. Arrogance is going to do you in, and they think they're unstoppable, and they're in a blue area, and nobody cares what they do, and so they get in office, and then they vote to virtually double their pay. From $40,000 to $80,000 for a part-time job. Look, I'd like to have $80,000 for a part-time job, right? It's plus benefits. Not a bad gig, but, I mean, there's just a lot of things that have gone on there. John has run a solid campaign. And look, Pete, everybody knows, a friend of mine or not, I call it like I see it. And I just think Whitbeck is going to win that race. But I think there's going to be splitting of the vote. So I think people are going to go Bell, Whitbeck. I think Higgins has made it competitive because, a month ago he was down by 19, right? So three or four, maybe five, I mean, he's made it competitive. And certainly McAuliffe went there Saturday. Biden went there Saturday, so they were worried about
They're running to the rescue. Yeah, they're trying to run to the rescue and save Bell. I don't know, John. Look, most people wrote that race off a long time ago. Gary's run an unbelievable campaign, and I think rising tide from Whitbeck, and I feel some grassroots real movement out there, at least on our side of the fence. And who knows? But I'm cautiously optimistic there.
Yes, I think it's going to be closer, and I think it's a part of the reason it's going to be closer is because of Whitbeck. I think John is going to win. I don't even think it's going to be close. I mean, you vote yourself a pay raise and then you vote to raise tolls. I mean, at some point, people just say, I think we need a change here. So that's why I think John's going to win that race. But some of the others, look, I don't know why Hugo would lose in 19 if he won in 17. That's been my argument for Tim. He's raised money, worked hard. They threw the kitchen sink at him in 2017. That was the height of the blue wave trend in Virginia. He managed to survive by 100 votes or whatever. I don't think you beat him. I think he wins again. And then the Republicans have to hold the Milday Thomas seat in Fredericksburg. So, look, a lot of things have to happen. It could be 51-49 caucus of the corn, 51-49 Cox, or 50-50, right? It's going to be really
well. And John, we're not going to know for a handful of days. Yeah, I think Nick Freitas feels comfortable enough with his write-in efforts, but you never know there. And we're not going to know on Tuesday night. That's going to take us at least till Wednesday to know what happens there. I think he's going to be all right, but I don't think we're going to have a definitive view on who's in charge and who's in control for a couple of days. That's my prediction.
I think we will. The Freitas thing, I think he's going to win by 10. I've been saying that forever.
I think he will too, John, but we won't have an official count. I mean, that's the whole thing.
Yeah,
they
will
have
be
zero
official,
count
but,
on.
Yeah.
I don't know, but also I think that we're going to see overtime in probably one or two different races.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
well,
just
I mean,
the way that these things work. You know?
If Stolle loses in Virginia Beach, the Republicans are going to collapse. I mean, that really is the race. There's no math to them winning because if Stolle goes down, it doesn't bode well for Davis. It doesn't bode well for DeStef. I mean, that to me, Virginia Beach is the fire. While Stolle has to hold that. Okay, let's get to some of the other stuff. We've already gone over that. Let's get to you spent some time in Chesterfield this past week, as I understand it.
I did. I came in on Friday. Chesterfield's been an unbelievable battleground over recent years, and there's a handful of different races that truly matter out there, and I went and campaigned with and put up signs with Amanda Chase. and, you know, Amanda I've known for a long period of time. We've, most of the time we agree on issues, but, you know, in 2013, she was a political director of an opponent of mine, and, you know, we've stayed friendly, and, you know, by the 10th Richmond Times-Dispatch article that I read trying to, like, you know, rip her to pieces and see all the trolls on the interwebs, I finally had enough and gave Amanda a call and said, hey, what do you need? How can I help? You know, how can Burson and I help you? And, you know, we financially contributed to Amanda, and, you know, we're out there running around the district having a blast, putting big yard signs up in yards. And, you know, Amanda, look, Amanda has had everything in the kitchen sink thrown at her. The Dems are trying to make a play there, and she remains fearless. She's a reliable conservative vote. She has a spine like steel, as you know, and she's going to win. So I was happy to be out there riding around and getting signs up and showing her support. You know, she's been under fire for quite a period of time, and she's going to win this thing.
Yeah, look, she made some mistakes, obviously. You know, getting into it with the Capitol Police, not her best moment. Being nasty and belligerent with them, not her best moment. Making them drive her around the Capitol like a taxi cab, not good. Arrogant, again, arrogance will nail you. But I think she's overcome that, and she's apologized in the best way that she can. I think she wins that race easy, and as she's told people, she hopes to run for governor in 2025. Let's also get last night to Dance with the Stars, Sean Spicer. He's not a very good dancer, to be quite honest with you, dude, but he keeps winning, and it's driving the judges bananas. But he's going to keep winning because he's got all of the Trump voters backing him.
Johnny, I love this thing. And, you know, full disclosure, you and I have known, I've known Sean for 20 years or so. He's been active in the movement, active in conservative politics in the community in Northern Virginia for quite a period of time. He's a proud Virginian, serves our nation in the Navy Reserve. So, I've been friends with Sean for a long period of time, and it just gives me so much pleasure to see him driving the libs insane. And you nailed it. Look, right now he's a hell of a lot better dancer than you and I are. I mean, he's working with professionals out there and doing routines that I certainly couldn't do. But it's the great thing about that show and the way they construct how you advance is some of it's based on real dancing skill, and the other is based on a popularity campaign on. And I think America, I think the liberals are overlooking the rest of the country, and there are millions
of people. Frederick will legalize
that. You know, say, hey, look, they might not be the best dancer in the world, but that guy's up there trying as hard as he can, and they're sick and tired of being snubbed. And that's what I think is great. So you see this massive, massive outpouring of support. I think he went from last to first. Solely based on outside voting and people voting for him because they're tired of him being snubbed and tired of feeling forgotten. So in a microcosm, it's really kind of what happened in 2016. And the liberals just don't learn. I mean, I think it's really funny that now you read online that people want to change the rules of the show because they want to prevent people from capturing a popular vote. I mean, it's the same thing that the liberals did when President Trump won. So,
I'm not sure. Come on, Pete. I'm not sure that's a fair analogy. It's more like when they went to baseball when they went to first baseball all-star voting, and they went to the fans rather than the writers and the managers. And I think it was the Milwaukee Braves at the time stacked it, and they had like 8 starting players and. MLB had to go back and change the rules and fix that. So I think I'm not just going to have anything to do with 2016, but I think what the judges are saying, you're not a very good dancer, but the rules are the rules, and so you keep winning. Anyway, I want to get to. I'm going to bring in Gary Beiler. He's chomping at the bit. He heard you were on the line.
God bless.
Beiler couldn't wait to get in. Gary, you're on with Pete Snyder and John Fredericks.
You know, I was just talking 2 days ago about what the heck is Pete Snyder doing besides making a ton of money. It's time for him to come back into politics.
Gary, I'd only do it with you by my side, my friend. I got to tell you, John, you remember that, you know, there were a handful of locks for us in 2013, and Gary Beiler and the 2nd District and your turf in Virginia Beach delivered every single ballot. So, Gary, hey, only going to do it with you by my side, brother.
Hey, let's get together. Let's get together next week, Pete.
All right, Gary, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm letting you know, John, that we filed an injunction in Accomack County late yesterday. There's been some allegations of some shaky vote filing, kind of similar to what happened in North Carolina. I don't have any personal knowledge. I'm just wearing the lawyer hat on this one. But the county chairman and the state party had enough of a concern that we filed that injunction. We're simply asking the judge to hold the absentee ballots for 48 hours while we can try to sort through this. I don't think that there are a lot of votes at stake, but you may recall we lost the the Coleman race by either 9 or 11 votes, depending on who you ask. And
9 votes.
So we were concerned enough that we filed this. I will also tell you that a similar action was granted in Buckingham County last night about 9 o'clock. Similar filing, and the judge has ordered a 48-hour delay on counting those ballots. So everybody needs to get out there and vote. In the meantime, we're doing everything we can to make sure that the vote count is honest and fair.
All right, well, Gary, Pete Snyder has predicted that Kirk Cox and the Republicans hold the House. What say you?
No, I do not. And I read yours, Jeff. My over-under was 46 for the Republican. I talked to Austin Chambers, head of the Republican state leadership, and he says that there is a path to 51. So I changed my over-under to 48. But no, here's my prediction, is that we lose the House. We legalize marijuana. 18 months later, we come back, take our majority back.
Pete, how do you react to that, Pete Snyder?
Well, I think, Gary, I'm more cautiously optimistic that we keep the House, but I think no matter what, the Democrat crazy train is in full effect. You heard, Phil Horn say that they're going to put the Kathy Tran bill up no matter what. And you know that, our governor is so emasculated right now due to his blackface or wearing sheet scandal. He will sign any single thing that his caucus puts forward. So I think, you know, whether they get one chamber or both, the Democrats are going off the rails. There's no goalie in there. The governor is not going to stop anything. Terry McAuliffe is powerless to stop anything, and he needs to recast himself as a liberal's liberal. So he's going to have to turn, he went on CNN and called the Kathy Tran bill infanticide in February, and now he's reversed himself on that. So this is, they're absolutely nuts. They're going to overreach, and I agree with Gary Beiler that there is going to be a comeback for Republicans very, very soon in Virginia, no matter what.
All right, so I'm going to give the name out, and then I want your both predictions. I've got 2 minutes and 15 seconds remaining. Okay, so Gary and Pete, I'm going to start with Pete on all these and then go to Gary. So it's going to be Pete, Gary, John. District 28, Fredericksburg, Mill Day, win or lose? Pete?
Win.
Gary?
Lose.
John? Win. Northern Virginia, Tim Hugo versus Dan Helmer. Pete?
Hugo wins.
Yeah, Gary? Tim went to Bayside High School. I'm going with the Marlin. Tim wins.
Tim wins. Okay, let's get to let's get to the other big one the Republicans have to hold, Virginia Beach. Stolle, Guy, Pete?
Stolle, hands down.
Gary?
It's going to be close, but Chris will pull that out.
All right, John likes Stolle in that race. All right, let's get to Cox and Sheila Bynum. Pete?
The teacher wins again. Cox.
Gary?
Yeah, I think the speaker pulls it out. He's spent an awful lot of effort into that district. But, again, I think that's going to be a close one.
All right. And Manassas, Ian Lovejoy, Republican, versus the communist Lee Carter. Pete?
No more commies. Ian's run a great race. He's going to win.
Gary?
Don't think so. I think Carter's got the edge in that.
John likes Ian. Let's get to one of the other
ones the Republicans have to win. Let's get to Rodman's old district. Mary Margaret Castleberg, win or lose, Pete?
I think Mary Margaret's going to win, and Gary, if you talk to Austin Chambers, he'll tell you that she has knocked on more doors than any other candidate running in the General Assembly this year. She's put in the blood, sweat, and tears. Mary Margaret's going to win.
Gary?
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that. Austin says they're doing a last-minute push in that district, and he wouldn't do that if he didn't think they had a shot.
All right, so I think Castleberg wins. So, Gary, when you're saying the Democrats are going to win, I mean, the only two you've disagreed with.
I don't think we're good. I think we could lose a couple more in Virginia Beach.
Who?
I Barry Knight is well entrenched down there, but the opponent has spent a lot of money, and I'm just concerned about turnout. If people listen to your show, go vote. With your giant audience, we're going to stay in the fight. But I'm concerned about turnout, Jeff.
So hey, Johnny, I'm concerned about Gary. I think he's been hitting the Stoli this morning and is in cahoots with.
No, I want to get. So, Gary, you're concerned about Barry Knight. What else are you concerned about, Davis?
Well, yeah, I think Jason Meares is going to be okay, but I think our delegation is going to be down to two or three.
So who would lose?
Well, it would be.
If Stolle wins, I mean, all you've got remaining, I've already predicted Shannon Cain loses big. She's a horrible candidate, dreadful. So she
right,
loses.
And I think Rocky probably is going to be unable to win as well. And Jason, I'm thinking Jason can win. I'm concerned about Barry, and I think Chris has got a very close race.
What about Davis?
No, Davis is in trouble. Davis is in big trouble. Yeah, I do think he's in trouble. And wow. And there are a lot of.
Go ahead, Gary.
A real good comeback to the party, but a lot of people never forgave him for opposing Cuccinelli after he was the nominee of the party.
Oh my God, we're going to go back to that. Oh, for God's sake!
Well, not me. I'm just telling you.
God, we're going to go back to Cuccinelli, the man who single-handedly destroyed the Republican Party for a generation? Whatever. I got to go. That's enough for me, Gary Byler. Cuccinelli.
Keep fighting. God.
Johnny, what is Gary up to with this Lee Carter thing? Again, I think the Stoli's been out this morning. I love you, Gary, but I mean...
Cuccinelli in 2013.
I mean, what is going on?
Hey, look, Gary knows Virginia Beach, though. All right, look, Gary, just one other question. I got to go. Tell me my good friend Rob Bloxham is going to be okay.
Well, that's why we were in Accomack last night. I've sent Attorney Cornelia Woodley to the Accomack courthouse to make sure that 100th district stays fight. We did not think it was in play until very recently, but a big giant nothing for granted in that Woodley and courthouse.
All right, I got to roll. Gary Byler says, caucus of the corn and night of the living dead is upon us.
You're listening to The John Frederick Show. Common sense for the Commonwealth. On great radio stations across Virginia and online anytime at thejohnfrederickshow.com.